Are you a cake maker running a business or a business owner making cakes? Hi, I'm Sammy.
Hi, I'm Bronya, and welcome to the Business of Cake Making.
This is part two of our interview with the Indulgent Sugar Plum and Channel 4's extreme cake maker, Nastasia. In part one, we heard about her amazing journey into becoming a cake artist, and you should definitely give it a listen to. And today, in part two, we'll hear about her design process, her aesthetic, and how she gets all of her inspiration. Now, time to get back to the interview. Why not get a coffee, piece of cake, put your feet up, and enjoy the magic.
I actually started taking baking seriously from end of 2018. I started taking it seriously. Yeah, I would say January. To be honest, it was probably like January 2019. So it's been a year and a half.
Only recently that you've actually kind of gone, this is my career now. Then,
yeah, I didn't own it like I should have been owning it.
People were owning it.
Saying to me, this is your excellence, this is your brilliance. And I was like, I'd be very humble about, not even humble, I'd be very kind of, I'd be shy about it. I don't sing myself. The way people sing about me is not always the way I sing about myself.
Is there a reason for that? Or is it just that are you naturally sort of like a shy person about stuff like that, or did you not believe in what you were doing?
I believed in myself to a degree, but because I would say it was mainly because I didn't see me on the platforms that cake is being shown on, and what I mean by that is I've never seen a black baker do what I'm doing. Right. So therefore I only saw who I saw being uplifted in regards to cake and to excellence. I didn't see myself there. So therefore I didn't feel like, even though people told me I was great and I was amazing and I was like this forward thinking art person and they'd never seen anything like I do. I didn't see that being praised on the cake platforms. What I saw was the same thing I've seen like 25 years ago. And that made me feel like, not to say that I couldn't do it, but there was still a part of me that had to say to myself, for me to actually want those platforms, me too, I have to own it. I can't, people are owning it for me, but I need to own it. I had to come to that.
Do you think you were held back externally because you were the black baker, or do you think you have held yourself back from that praise?
I would say for myself, I think when it comes to my work, I really like my work to do my talking. I have always been like I want my work to do the talking, I want my work to be the voice, but it's actually a collaboration of the two. I have to be as loud as my cakes as well. Do I feel like the cake world has held me back? I think the cake world hasn't wanted to appreciate what I'm doing sometimes. Not to say that, not to, in a bad way. I think they just don't understand it. And that's okay, because I started to realize I'm just before my time.
It's okay to not understand.
And I had to say to myself, it's okay for them to not understand it. It's because they haven't seen it. Because a lot of the time is what you've never seen, you don't automatically understand. It's like, oh, that's different. Like, oh, that's like, how are we supposed to do that? Like, it's like when somebody says to me, oh, like, can I have a shorter version of your cake? Because I don't know how to cut it. And it's just like, well, if it was shorter, you wouldn't have been taken by it. So the answer is no, you're going to have it at the height, but you have to become comfortable with it. Become comfortable, because my cakes they do command space. They do command their own excellence. You can put my cake in any kind of room and it will attract people. And it does it, it commands attention without saying anything. And a lot of that is sometimes scary to be like, oh, I've got this big old cake and everybody's going to be staring at it. How am I supposed to cut it when people ask me? But the beauty of it is, like, I've never put instructions on how to cut my cake because it's up to you, because it is your art piece and you choose how to handle it.
I love that you actually see it. You're talking about it as an art piece, as like an art installation within the room. I think that's such a, such a groundbreaking way to talk about cakes.
Yeah, it's as if you're talking about the winds of change. Your cake designs are so different. They're so beautiful, and they're changing the way people look at cakes. You're changing the familiarity of your bog standard normal 2-tier cake. Your cake. Just the height and the designs of them are so, what's the word I'm looking for? Brilliant.
Is that a conscious thing to design cakes like that, or is it just something that's evolved?
Okay, so with the design element, it's really amalgamation of my background. Like, as I said, one of the key reasons why I didn't really want to enter the arena of cake was because, like, I saw everything was the same. Everybody was producing the same. There was the blueprint that it was like, here's the blueprint of cake. Everybody does a novelty cake because everybody wants a cake that they can be familiar with. And like I think Sammy said, it's familiarity.
Familiarity.
Familiarity with a product and with what's already out there, so people feel comfortable with it. What you're familiar with is what you become comfortable with, because everybody's doing the same thing. Nobody's actually coming out and saying, nah, sorry, I don't want to do that. I want to do something different. Because the main thing is, like, when people aren't familiar with something, the first thing people want to say is it going to sell? Who's it going to be attracted to? But you've got to remember, like, from my background is art and fashion. We thrive off of being different, and we thrive off of having a strong identity. Picasso isn't Van Gogh. Van Gogh isn't Michelangelo. Michelangelo isn't Paul Klee. They all have such strong identities. You can put a Paul Klee up to next to a Kandinsky, and you know the difference. People in the art world recognize the brushstroke. You know Monet's work because he uses pointillism. You know Picasso's work because he's a cubist. Everybody has their thing and everybody has their style. That wasn't present in the cake world. And I mean, it's becoming a little bit more apparent.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
When I entered the cake world, I turned heads because people were like, what is that? Who is that? And why? Like, why is your cake? Why do we need tall cakes? We need it to. People think I did tall cakes because it was just like, oh, one day I thought I'm just going to do a tall cake. No, like, my background, I would say it came about, like, the way I designed my cakes. I always designed my cakes. I started designing my cakes not wanting to be denied, that I wanted such a strong identity that nobody could say, oh, my gosh, it's just like, is that hummingbird? No.
Yeah.
Is it Lola's? No. Because to be honest, if you put a hummingbird and Lola's in front of me, I couldn't tell the difference.
No.
Without the packaging.
Mm. Yeah.
When I first started caking or in the cake world, I didn't have a massive budget. Like, I don't come from a family with, like, pockets overfloweth, you know. And that was one of the things that my mom said, oh, but, you know, if you're going to go into this arena, you know, in food, you need to pump money into it. I didn't have that. I used the basic. I had the basics.
Yeah.
And one of my superpower at the time, and still my superpower, is that I'm a creative. I have no bounds. My creativity is no bounds. So my thing was, like, I want to carve my own lane to have such a strong identity that I can never be denied as a baker. Like, no baker can deny that my work. Like, if even if somebody started a random page and used all of my cake, I guarantee you the whole cake world will be like, no, stop, that's Miss Sugar Plum. Don't be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, we'd know who it is. Yeah.
Nobody can do what I'm doing because I crafted it. I crafted it out of sheer knowledge, knowing that I don't have money for a marketing person to do me all of these designs and create a logo. I didn't have a logo when I first started. I basically, my friend had illustrations of cakes that she had done that we kind of was just like, oh, we can pass this off for now. I mean, it wasn't a thing. I didn't look at it, and it used to, like, for my graphic design friends and people who were in marketing, it used to bug them out. It'd be like, oh, Nicole, you need to work on your branding. You need branding because you need branding. And I was like, well, if I don't have a product, the branding means nothing.
Yeah. And I suppose your cakes are your product. Your cakes exactly. are your brand, aren't they?
My cakes are my brand. I don't need it. Like, I don't need to plaster a sticker with like a cupcake or whatever logo for you to know it's the Indulgent Sugar Plum. You know it's the Indulgent Sugar Plum if I throw you. If somebody was to send you a cake and say, hey, look at this amazing tall cake, you're going to be like, oh, I know, it's Miss Sugar Plum. I know. My cakes sell themselves without having a label.
You're talking about people that are in a market. They're also looking at a formulaic way of dealing with branding and marketing, which is probably about you know, colors and logos and all the rest of it, so you know, that's a formula in itself, isn't it? So but branding is so much more. Branding is you, it's your product, it's everything about you, isn't it? So
I made the conscious decision just to work on my craft and work on my identity, because in fashion, that's how we work. Like, every fashion designer has their thing. Like, when I said I entered Diesel and they were like, Nastasha, what's your thing? And I was like, I don't have a thing. And obviously, cake has become my thing. But I asked myself that question in terms of design. What is my thing? What's my signature mark? What do I want to go down in history? What is my legacy? And this is my legacy. My legacy is just looking like my cakes are my legacy. They're cakes that you cannot deny. You can't. Another baker can't come in and say, oh, I did this cake. And everybody be like, an uproar. Go, no. Nobody ever does a sugar plum design. Like, you can try if you want to, but it'll always be an image.
Can I ask this is like a really basic fundamental question. It's something that every time I see your cakes, so gravity is not on your side with cakes. You know, you don't have a big base and a little top. What is the stress level like when you're delivering your cakes?
I don't get stressed. Like, to be quite fair.
Because I would be so scared they were going to topple. Because I look at them and go, there's nothing keeping that up.
So the funniest thing is everybody's dying question is, how do you get that from one venue to another?
Yes.
The key thing is, like, you're not driving at 50 miles per hour, are you? Like, no. I mean, I've been in my friend's car and she's been driving very wild with like a tall cake. And I'm just like, this is why your cakes never get home. And she's like, yeah, I know. I mean, I drive like I'm supposed to. When I've got a cake in the car, I have a little sign on the back saying cakes on board. So I'm driving.
Right.
If it's 20 miles per hour road, I'm driving at 18 miles per hour. Like, and the thing is, a lot of people think that when you transport a cake, you need somebody holding a cake. I've done that before. When I very first started delivering cakes, like, I would get people to hold it and then it'll get to the venue and like a side with a smudge. And then I just realized it just needs a flat. So if you have, like, I put it in the passenger side or in the boot, and in the boot, basically, you just need to have like those really useful boxes. And so you just put them in there and you just make sure that you've got like some weights around it so the cake doesn't move, so the boxes don't slide back and forth, and that's basically it. And you just don't drive at 20 miles. You don't drive like a maniac. When you get onto the motorway, you can go 100 miles per hour with a cake in your car.
Because there's no corners, is there? You know, there's no corners, there's no braking, it's fine.
It's just like one straight road, but it's when you're basically coming down to and re-enter like local traffic where you have to slow down and have to, that's where the caution is. So it's tactical. It's very, very tactical.
Okay.
But I would say the bigger cakes that are taller are easier to transport because they've got weight. Whereas like the taller, slim ones, they are quite delicate.
I think it's the smaller ones. They're the ones to me, I just kind of I just see top. I see wobbling. I do. Just looking at them, thinking, how does she do that?
No, like, you know,
I see wobbling happening.
Yeah, I would say, like, obviously over the years, and especially in the past 2 years, my cakes have gotten slightly taller. They've kind of got to height, but they've got to a height which I now very much appreciate, and we're not going taller than that.
Right.
So, yeah, but when it comes to just design, I don't call myself a baker at all. I'm not like a cake. I'm not a baker. I'm an artist first. Like, art first. Cake is just a medium. Cake is just my canvas. Like, I don't even
Do you get all your inspiration from? Because I actually saw some stories of yours the other day of inspiration, and it was like gateposts and walls. Yeah,
Yeah, it's just anything. I mean, I'm having this conversation with you and my mind is like already at 50 miles per hour, and a design element could come up by like a word that you may say which triggers something in my mind and be like, oh, that would be cool. You know what I mean? So everything is my inspiration. Life is my inspiration. Like, as an artist, you never look, it's not like you go, I follow sets of bakers, but I don't follow huge amounts of bakers. The bakers that I follow really are people who have the same background as myself, or who are artists first. Someone like Jasmine Ray, she's an artist first. She studied art. And then you've got someone like Lima's Cake, who she's not even an artist. You know, she just enjoys, she appreciates the world of art. And all of those kind of people who really kind of like push the boundaries, those are the type of people that I tend to follow. I don't tend to follow a load of cake people, because I think what tends to happen when you follow loads of cake people, you kind of get bogged down in like, oh, she's doing this, she's doing that, she's doing this, oh, I want to do this. I really just look for inspiration in life. Like, everything in life has inspired me. As a fashion designer, obviously, like, I follow mostly fashion and architecture kind of stuff. Anything that's inspiring, I follow. Like, really, like, even my sister said, your feed is really boring. For her, it's really boring because she doesn't they don't understand it. They don't really understand, like, the people who I follow and why I kind of follow someone who makes like cups. Like, she's like, you know, this person just makes cups, and I'm just like, yeah, but they're pretty. Or you follow like somebody, like, I follow a guy who just does DIY stuff. I mean, there's nothing like, the DIY is like him just cutting up wood. Like, yeah. I just like watching him cut up wood. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like really, but it's stuff that like really intrigues me. I follow people who, I follow doctors. Like, and they're like, well, you follow people who do like doctors and operations. I like science. I like the human. I like to know how things function. I just like weird, like, it's very, very weird stuff that you're just like, these things don't connect and make sense, but it's things that I actually like in life. My golden rule in life is like, I don't do what I don't like. So if there's something I don't like, I just don't do it. With just things that I'm interested in. Like, I'll just, sometimes I'm just like going for walks and I'll just see a piece of paper on the floor that looks like it's been ripped up, it's been burnt. I don't know what's happened to that piece of paper, but the textures look nice and the colors look nice. And I'll just take a picture of it and I'll be like, oh, that's quite cool. Maybe I can recreate that on cake. And people are like my friends think like I do, like I do some really random stuff. But I mean, for them, they're just like, for them, it's probably just like, that's Nastasia. She does into random things. But for me,
that's your brand, like, again, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just my brand. And that's why I just like, I really just try and like, I don't box. And this is why I don't box myself in to say, I'm just a wedding cake designer. I just like doing this kind of design. Like, my cakes aren't labeled for anything because, like, they're beautiful art pieces. The one thing that I accept for a label is they're beautiful art pieces. They're pieces that I would like one day to be in the Guggenheim or in the Met Gallery or in Tate Modern or in the Natural History Museum. You know, like, I go to museums all the time. I go to Natural History Museum, I go to Victoria and Albert, I go to Science Museum. Anywhere where I'm traveling to, I'll find a local museum and I'll just like go in there, take snaps and just take in the information and take in that moment. My cakes are about always being in the present moment. They're not cakes that I've thought out to say, oh, I'm going to do that. Like, I had a customer the other day, actually. She called me and she was like, yeah, so what are you going to do for my cake? And I was like, I don't know. She was like, what? And I was like, well, I don't
really
know.
So that's that's how you operate. So you don't draw designs out or anything like that. It's just what comes
I do that for clients.
Okay.
Because wedding clients are different, because that's a, that is taken.
It's a bigger. It's a different vision, isn't it? It's kind of more there. Yeah.
It's a different vision. It's something that they've been planning. There is an essence to it. But even at that, you know, I can draw out a wedding cake design, and on the day, it's just like, oh. It kind of looks like the picture, but it's not the picture. It's even better than the picture.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So your clients really have to take a leap of faith with you then, don't they?
It's like fortunately, unfortunately. I think for a lot of customers, it scares them, because it's like they want what's in the picture. But that's the thing about me. It's not what's in the picture. You only like that. You like that picture and you think that the client asked for that. None of the cakes that are on my page, the clients have actually asked for. That's not what they asked for. They didn't say to me, "Oh, Natasha, I want a square cake and I want this popping out of it." They don't know what they want, because the reality is, in the world, if you look at everybody as individuals, we don't really know what we want until we're shown a picture.
No.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what art is. We just create things. We create because... we create out of beauty and out of love,
yeah.
And we're creating really for ourselves. And that's my inner voice speaking. My cakes are my inner voice speaking. That's my truth. That's me laying myself bare to the world.
Because of that, do you ever get complaints that you haven't done what they were expecting?
Yes, I've had that.
Yeah.
And so.
I think that's a fear of most cake makers, is that, you know, there's a very real thing, cake fear, of turning up with a cake and everyone hating it.
Okay. Yes. I mean, I've been in those positions before. And I had to sit myself down and ask myself why that actually happened. And so what it is like, one thing that's very apparent in the cake industry is people like you to create what they've seen. That's why I said people only want what they see, what they don't know, because we've never shown them another way to say, oh my gosh, you can actually have this, but you have to trust me to be that person.
Yeah.
And it was funny, because I remember this one client, and she was like, oh, I really want you to do this cake. I want it like this. And she was showing me all of this detail. And I started getting anxiety. And I was like, oh my gosh, she wants all of these things. I mean, she's showing me pictures of my cakes, by the way. She's not showing me anything else. And I'm like, okay, so I'm getting anxiety over this woman showing me the picture of my cake. But what she wanted all of these different aspects. And what happened is, she had a vision in her head that wasn't in my head.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing I always tell people. When I get things wrong, it's because you've already created a cake that I've never seen before. And that's not my vision. That is actually the image that you've created, that in your mind, I can't see that. Because that's not me. That's your brain, and you know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. And that's the key thing about my work. And that's something I had to get things wrong like that for me to understand where I was going wrong. Mm. So I always say to every cake maker, when a customer comes to you with this outlandish ideas and she's pulling this aspect from that cake and pulling all of these details from different cakes and she's created a cake, understand you will never be able to live up to that expectation, because she's created it herself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Those visions that she's pulled together, you're not in her mind. Unfortunately, you can't see that, because it's an image that the brain has created and said, yes, this works. Yes, this works. But you know that doesn't work, because you already know the techniques that you need to do to get to that technique that she specifically wants. And she wants it to land on these specific colors. But it can't work like that, because it's art. Yes. And you have to allow error for greatness to happen.
Yeah.
So when I get those kind of customers, I always tell them, I'm not your baker. You need to go find your own baker, because they're the problem. I actually don't want to say they're problematic. It's only because they've already created the cake before you've even done it. I've not seen the vision. You've not drawn it out on paper for me. You're pulling these things from all these different cakes that I've created. Yeah, those are great. But do you know how I got to that point? You can't have that technique over that, because that color does not blend well with that, because that is like buttercream, and that is like some ink that doesn't dry. So it can't happen, babes. And I usually tell customers, I'm very one thing I've learned is to be very open and frank with the customer. If they're doing something that's out of your league, or they've created this cake with all of the things that they've drawn from all of these cakes that you've made, and they want you to do an amalgamation of all of these things, and you know it's not going to work, tell them, babes, it's not going to happen. If they say why, you tell them through, like, this step, for me to get there, I have to do this and do this and do this and do this. If I do this, this paint doesn't dry. This stencil can't lay over that because this is wet. And if it doesn't, and when you explain it to them, they're like, oh, well, I didn't know that. Oh, of course you didn't know that, because it's not your medium.
Because you're the cake maker and not them.
Exactly. And you have to understand, when somebody gives me so much details of how their cake wants to look, my usual response to them is, I think you should come in and do it. And they're like, huh? And then I'm like, they're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, you come in and you show me how you want it. And they're like, but I'm not the cake maker. And I'm like, exactly. So let me do my job. So if you trust me, and it's one of those things you have to explain to them, if you came to, and I remember having to ask this client, like, why did you come to me? She's like, oh, because you're the only one who could do it. Yes, I did that. And she was like, this is your, and I was like, I know these are my cakes. And I was like, do you know that none of these customers actually asked for this cake? She was like, pardon? And I was like, no, I ask you for a color spectrum for a reason. Right. I ask you to give me feelings for a reason. I'm not asking you to give me feelings because I'm going to copy it. It's because I need to understand who you are. My cakes are about my cakes aren't about, like, it's not a novelty thing. It's not, it can't be recreated again because it's art. Like, you can't ask an artist to redo something that they've done like 5 minutes ago because it's a process. It's a mind frame, and it's being in the present moment. If there is a particular cake that you like, to say that you want exactly this, I will tell you, even if you show me, I tell everyone, show me any one of my cakes. I can't replicate it for you, because the time where it landed there and the mind frame that I was in, the muses that I was using, they're gone. We've got a different set of muses. We've got different sets of fairies coming out, and those fairies want to have a go. We can't have the same fairies all the time. Unfortunately, they're not always available. And when I talk about this, people are just like, what the heck are you doing? And it's like, obviously, if you, like, when I have these conversations with other artists who paint, they understand, or even musicians will tell you, you can't sing the same note 50 million times. That's why it's recorded, you know what I mean? You know, or you can't get the same mood of that song. You have to graduate and go on to something new, and each of my cakes is a new time frame, and it's a new graduation. I would hate for me to look back at my cakes and still be producing what I produced like 2-3 years ago. I look back at my work, last week I was doing a reflection of my work, of just stuff that I was doing like last year, 2019. I was like, oh my gosh, this 2020 stuff is out of this world, man. Like, I've grown so much. But here's the thing. It's a beautiful thing because I can see where I've graduated. Like, I want to always look back at my work and go, oh my gosh, I'm a level up, I'm a level up, I'm a level up. I would hate to look back at my catalog and not see any growth. And that's where I kind of say to customers, you come to me because you trust me. If you don't trust me, I need you to go to what you're used to. And that's the thing. And when I get new customers, whenever somebody who's never ordered from me comes through, and they are very, like this lady, and she was like, you know, like, this cake is for a particular person, and she really wanted to know what I was going to do. I don't have an answer for you. I actually don't have an answer for you, because I'm not at the stage of designing, because I'm still in the present, and the present requires me to do whatever I'm doing, which is answer an email. I'm not thinking about your cake, unfortunately, because I've got to be in the present. And when you act in the present, you're not trying to speed ahead, because I don't want to speed ahead to get to thinking about what I'm going to do for the cake. Yes, I may have ideas. I may be blocking it out, like, oh, like, she wants this color spectrum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, like, I'm going to work with these kind of colors, but I don't know how it's going to land on the cake. I may, like, have ideas of, oh, I want to kind of recreate that feeling and start, like, asking, like, literally thinking, okay, the muses I want to use, like, the fairies, like, can you guys come and help me get that feeling back? But it's never a kind of moment of, like, pre-planned stuff, because I believe that's that just, when I Yeah, in the past, whenever I pre-planned an idea, and this was at the very early stages of my cake decorating, whenever I pre-planned an idea and I had it set in motion, when it didn't go to plan, I was so disappointed with myself, and I'd put myself.
It stresses you out, doesn't it?
It's very stressful. And it gave me anxiety. It gave me cake anxiety, right? Because I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's not gone to what I thought it was in my head. But what I was doing is I was just restricting my creativity. I wasn't allowing it to do what it does best, which is just be free and enjoy the moment that it's in. Like each cake I do, I enjoy that moment, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whether I'm a bit tense. All of those things kind of just like end up on the cake, but in such a romantic way. So when people do say to me, oh, what am I going to do? I have to tell them, like, babes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I see on the day, innit? I see on the day how I'm feeling. And they're just like, what? Like, so you can't even give me indication. And I was just like, babes, if you want to come and decorate the cake yourself, you're free. You're more than welcome. Because at this point, like, I'm just trying to get through today. You know, I'm actually trying to get through today because
you sound like you really enjoy the creative. It sounds like, you know, we talk to a lot of cake makers, you know, being in the business, we talk to a lot of cake makers, and there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of stress. Whereas you're the first person I've ever spoken to that you kind of go, enjoy it. It is what it is. And it's just so refreshing.
Well, the thing is, like, you're so stressed out by somebody who doesn't even know what they want. Like, you can't be stressed out with somebody who don't know what they want. It's like when guys say, you ask a woman what she wants to eat. She tells you, oh, I want to go out for dinner. You get to the restaurant and she's like, I don't know what I want to eat.
Yeah.
It's like, so think of it like that. Like, literally. Like, you can't be stressed over somebody who actually just doesn't know what they want. In the end, they want a beautiful cake. Yes, they want a beautiful cake. If you are one of those bakers who literally are happy to take on designs where a client shows you a picture and they want a replica of that, of course you're going to be stressed. I used to do that myself. I used to go, like, they used to show me a picture and be like, can you create that? And I'd get the chills. I would be like, oh my gosh, like, I can't get the paint to land. And I'd be doing this cake over and over again because I can't get the paint to land. Why can't I get the paint to land like that? Because it was never your design. That was in the matter of that designer. And if they want that cake, they need to go to that designer and ask that designer to do it. And that's why I tell people, if you're going to show me a design, it's not going to look like that. Please don't give me stress. That's not the stress that I want in my life. Like, and yes, I do lose orders from that, but am I losing sleep over it? No, I'm going to bed like a happy baby because it's not my stress. You know, is the stress worth the amount of money that the person is paying the cake for? No, sometimes it's actually not. And so that's where I've got to in my cake journey, that the stress that I like is being stressed over good things. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I've got these three cakes I'm going to decorate and I don't even know what I'm going to do with them. I'm excited to see what I'm going to do. That's the kind of stress I like. I like the stress of, like, right now thinking, oh my gosh, I've got 1,000,001 things to do and I've got these cake designs going through my head and oh my gosh, like, what are we going to start? Those are the stresses I have come to appreciate. When it comes to designing, you've got to enjoy the process because you can't be fearful of something that you say that you love. Fear you have to eradicate the fear by allowing yourself to go to places where you've never even visited. It's very difficult to get to that point as an artist, and even for myself as a cake, like, as an artist, it's been a very long journey. It's not been the easiest journey to get there because you've upset a few people. You've had cakes not go right. You've had a cake that, you know, probably collapsed one time. You've had all of these things that have happened to you. But for you to get to the place of understanding yourself and your genius within you, I've had to go through all of these things to actually come to a place where I say to people, I enjoy decorating cakes. I love it. It's not a stress on me. The thing that stresses me out is if a client calls me and says, what am I going to do on their cake? I usually look at the number. If I know it's the client, sorry, I'm actually saying this, but and then I'll send you an email saying, oh, sorry, I missed your call. What was it about? And usually it's so late that they're like, oh, I was calling that about the cake and I wanted this. And you're just like, oh, it's done now. Sorry. Like, you should have said it earlier. But there are kind of, I know it sounds like, Natasha, that's really wild to do that to a customer. But it sometimes what it is like sometimes they want, like I said, usually the customer is relying on your guidance because you're the, you have to always remember you are in control.
Yeah.
The only time when we're not in control is when we allow the customer to make all of these changes and to start dictating the cake and start saying, I want this and I want that. For you to take back control, you have to be very strong and firm saying, this is how I design. This is how we go about these things. If you show me a picture, sometimes clients do come to me, like there's a post the cake that I recently posted today. A client showed me a picture of a cake and she said, I want something like this. And I was like, you know, it's not going to look exactly like that. And she's like, yeah. But I want the essence of it to be semi.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good word.
She said semi-naked. Yeah. And with jungle animals. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. But, you know, I can't. And it's like when customers have seen other cakes that I've done and they're like, I want those exact flowers. Babe, I can't get those exact flowers because it floral seasons change. It's in winter and there's no tulips. So what do you want me to do? You want me, like, what do you want? What? Tell me how this is going to work. You know, and you have to really, you have to really break it down to a customer to say, I'm a seasonal, I work with what's in season. I don't just like, I can't just go to the florist and get a peony midwinter. It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't happen like that.
If you can find the peony and you want to drop the money for the peony, you're more than welcome. You know what I mean? So you have to really explain this because you have to treat every customer like a blank sheet of paper. They know nothing. They know nothing. And the more information that you, their designer, their cake designer supplies them with, that's the more knowledge that you're giving them. But you're also having to set your boundaries saying, I can do this, but it costs a bit more. If you want this, we're going to stretch there. If you want this, like, I mean, that's how I navigate. That's how I've learned to navigate these new waters and especially being like such a freestyle artist. And it's something I explain on my website to say that I don't do replicas of my own cakes. I capture the same essence. If there's like a particular kind of like stencil you want, I can incorporate that stencil. But sometimes the stencil that you want doesn't actually go with what you're trying to, like what I'm trying to produce. Yeah. So I'll twist and change it. But I tell customers that and I'm very transparent with them. Even when I'm doing wedding cakes, I say to them, look, you know, we've drawn this, but on the day when I'm doing it, it may not even look that nice. So I'll take control. And they'll be like, yeah, that's what we want you to do. So if a customer, you have to...
It's a real trust that you've built up with your customers that... But I suppose that you can only build that trust because you have such a strong brand and such a strong vision and look that they kind of know what they're getting without knowing what they're getting.
That's completely true. But for me to get to that place, you have to understand that I had to do a lot of experimenting with the clients that I got in the very beginning, because in the very beginning, I mean, I don't use fondant, and that's one of the things that shocks everyone. They're like, oh, it's not fondant. I'm like, I hate fondant.
I love that you don't use fondant.
I mean, I hate it. I think it's the devil. Like, fondant is the actual devil. Like, you know, who wants to spend their time rolling that out and getting like muscles? Like, feel free, come through. But for me, it's that, like, I did it. I didn't enjoy it. It was frustrating. And like I said, that's where I adopted the rule of I don't do what I don't like, because it gives me cake anxiety. It gives me sleepless nights. It gives me everything that I don't like about my job. And I want to love my job. I actually love my, and it's not even a job for me. It's a lifestyle. Like, people have come to realize that I probably love my cakes more than I love I like people, but I mean, I love making cakes. Like, you know, like, it's one of those things that I could say to someone, I don't have any work, and then I'm just like back in the, like, I'll wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'll be decorating a cake and I'll be like, I thought you said you had no work to do. And I'll be like, oh, I just got one cake. My mom thinks I'm like, literally, she thinks I'm obsessed. She was just like, it's actually an obsession. Like, you're actually,
and there's nothing wrong with an obsession like that.
Yeah, but you need to do, like she says to me, you need to take a break sometimes, because it kind of looks like you don't like to do anything else or want anybody else in your world. And I'm just like, no, it's true. But I mean, it is one of those things where I think early in my career, I allowed myself to I always say to people, like, you really got to find your voice in this industry, especially where you've got like so many social media handles now, and you can be so visible without doing much, like without going out of your house.
Not everyone has a TV career out of this.
Exactly. It's actually true. The thing that you have to do, and you have to even say, like, guys, like, don't look at the fact that I was on, like, you know, a Channel 4 show for like 3.5 years of my life. That was hard work. Like, it's not easy. It's not just like, you saw me smiling throughout the show, but behind the scenes I was like sweating, like, you know, sleepless nights and everything.
Yeah.
Take away that factor. Yeah. Even before I was on the show, I had a strong identity. And that identity came from the fact that I had to do a lot of no before I got a lot of yeses. And when I say I did a lot of no's, is the fact that people would come to me and say, I want this cake and I want it in fondant, and I would be like, well, I don't do fondant, I do buttercream. And they'll be like, okay, cool, I'm gonna cancel my order. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay. I get a lot of those, and people want a fondant finish, right? But the people who said yes to the buttercream finish, I literally said to them, do you mind if I just experiment and create something for you, and you can give me feedback on the design and stuff? And they'd be like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, just do something nice for me. And usually those customers who say, do something nice for me, they honestly just want a nice cake. They honestly just want a beautiful cake. So I would plow all of my energies into these, like, buttercream cakes and the orders that were a yes. And I've tried different things with them all the damn time, to the point where people are just like, oh my gosh, like, whenever I have one of your cakes, like, I never know what you're gonna do. It makes me feel bougie. It makes this like, everybody always looks over, I'm in a restaurant and people are like, I've never seen a cake like that before. Until the people who wanted fondant were now going, oh, actually, I don't need the fondant because I want that.
You make people who say no
Make them say yes in the end.
And you built a whole experience around it. It's not just the whole experience of getting something that they don't know what they're going to get, but they know they're going to love it. And
there you go. So that is a part of the Indulgent Sugar Plum, that we create experiences. It's not just about the cake. Yes, the cake is like the thing that you eat at the end, but the reason why I started doing tall cakes is because whenever I went to an event, I would see these short cakes and nobody cared about the cake. It would be like, oh yeah, here's the cake, happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't remember the cake. I mean, I love cake, like, so I'm just there, I just want to eat the cake. But I'd look at the cake and go, really? Like, girl, like, I'd be like, oh, come on, we've got to, like, how can I make my cake experience so different? What can I make people stand around and go, oh my gosh, did you see the cake? I said, like, when we started the Indulgent Sugar Plum, when I started it, I said to my sister, I want this to be an experience. I want people to speak about it. I want it to touch every one of the senses, the look. I want people to see it, feel it, hear it, speak it, and then end up tasting it. And I want the last thing to be on people's lips is the Indulgent Sugar Plum. And that's the experience that I've created with my cakes, that I don't need to be at your event, and I guarantee you everybody will be like, the Indulgent Sugar Plum. I didn't taste the cake, but I saw it. It was amazing. Oh my gosh, I was at this wedding. I get people all the time saying, oh my gosh, like, I follow you and you just did the cake for my friend. And oh my gosh, I've seen your cake in real life. And for them, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I just seen a real life Miss Sugar Plum cake. Like, this is actually my experience. Like, you know, so to build on that and to know that, like, okay, this girl has only just started taking this seriously like a year and a half ago, and it's actually crazy, and she's been on a show, and just hearing,
you've been on two DP shows, haven't you? Weren't you on another one in Canada?
So I was on another show in Canada last year as well, which I don't enter competitions. It's not really my thing, but it was kind of like, yo, we're in a different country, you're reaching a whole new audience, like, it's Canada, this is like new territory. It's out of the UK, so the reception you're going to get, like, is going to be completely different. come on, it's an experience. So I took it and I ran with it, and we had the best time of our lives, like filming the Big Bake in Canada. And, you know, even when they contacted me, I was just like, look, dude, like I'm in the UK and you're emailing me from Canada. Like, honestly, like, because I get, like, after being on a Channel 4 show, you get loads of people from different countries saying, we want you to come and do this. And I'm like, I'm in England. And they're like, oh, okay, I thought you were in this country. And I'm like... No, and it would be like, oh, just behave yourself, like I'm in the UK. And it's like, no, that's no problem at all. We know you're in the UK. We've been watching you and we've seen this and this and this. And so that was a great experience to go over there. And the cake I created for there was like a hanging cocoon cake. So we completely took the experience different. And the comments that we got back from doing that cake were just amazing. I came back like on such a high. Doing that show.
Can we see that anywhere in the UK? Can we actually watch it anywhere? Because I've tried and I.
Okay, so what happened was ITVB had it for a while. They it was on the ITVB website for a while, but I think I'm not sure if it's still on there. But it was over Easter that they had a few shows of the Big Bake. I can find out to see if it's still available to watch anywhere, because quite a few people have been asking me where they can watch the show. And I think it's like, for me, it's like the new wave of followers that I've just recently got. Everybody wants to watch these shows that I've been on, and it's like that was the only one that, unfortunately, because it was done by Food Network Canada, you can only watch it by their site. And obviously, like, if you're not in Canada, sorry. That's where my career is now. And I mean, like I said, I absolutely love what I do. I don't like people really saying that, oh, I'm a cake maker. I'm not an artist.
You clearly are so much more from the way you talk and the passion that you have.
Yeah, and it's like the cake as well.
Yeah,
that you're coming up with all the artists' work and the gallery go to see and the museums and stuff. You're absorbing it all, and it's coming out in your work.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like cake is just kind of incidental in all of it.
I would say that the best analogy I have for my life is, like, you know, me and fashion were in this really great long-term love relationship, and then cake seeped in and I fell like deeply madly in love, and we you know, we had this affair, and then, you know, I told fashion about it, and fashion kind of was understanding, because, you know, like, we've been having rough times, and, you know, me and fashion had an amicable divorce, but, you know, fashion understood, and fashion has always played like the biggest part in my life towards cake, and cake respects fashion and fashion respects cake, therefore we made a great relationship out of it. So we're here.
Oh, I
love
that.
We're really here. We
totally love that.
So yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, thank you so much for chatting to us today. I'm totally blown away. I don't know about you, Sammy.
Yeah, totally. I felt like I haven't said anything the whole thing. I've just listened. I've been scribbling notes to look up things afterwards. So yeah.
No. Thank you. I mean, one of the biggest things for me is always to kind of, especially in this field, and being on a platform like all the platforms that I've been on Channel 4 and going to Canada, and even having the cafe, and even like, I don't currently have the cafe anymore, and I know a lot of people have been asking, how come you don't have the crypt anymore? To be honest, it was crippling my artwork, and I kind of fell out of love with doing cake and trying to run a full-blown cafe, and I really had to make the choice of, do I still love cake?
Been there, done that. I used to have a tea room. It's gone for exactly that reason.
And I've come back in myself, and in the past year, I think that's why there's been such a surge in the way I create now, and what I'm letting out, and the work that I'm letting out is so much bigger, and it's bolder, and it's just I'm completely in love with all of my recent works that I've been doing. They're hard to give away these days. It used to be like, okay, here's your cake. Now it's just like, can I keep it? So that was, you know, it was a hard decision to kind of make, but it was like, I did it for my own sanity, and I did it for my own love, because I really wanted to get back to the roots of why I started the Indulgent Sugar Plum. And for me, it's all about inspiring the next generation of bakers to think outside of the box. I think Yes. We have a stream, like I said in the beginning, baking or even caking within itself. When I first started, there was no blueprint of you go to this college, the career path is very wishy-washy. And it still is very much, because you kind of just happen to fall into it and say, I'm going to do it, or you're not going to do it. But I really want to show people that cake should have no limits, and I don't limit my cakes. Like, I mean, I was just talking to my friend and she was like, I want to start up an OnlyFans, and she was just like, oh my gosh, like Natasha, you're actually mad. Like, and that is like it's kind of like an influencer, like extra content kind of influencer kind of page, and it's actually quite mad what people use it for. But I was just like, no, it's going to be like an art piece, and she was like, you're actually mad. Like, and it's like putting cakes in I like to put cakes in situations that people would never think that they can go together, because I believe that there's been a blueprint that cake is only pretty, and I'm not saying that it can't be ugly. What I'm saying is cake can be used in any kind of environment. You just have to really relinquish all that you know of cake, and that's what I try and do with like my company. We don't like labels of this is a wedding. Any cake can be a wedding cake. Any cake can be a birthday. It can be what you want it to be. It can freaking hang from the skies if you want it to do that. Like, we'll make it happen. So that's the experience that I want to bring and understand that I want to inspire the next generation of bakers and leave my legacy for that, and them to have some sort of a blueprint to say, yeah, I can be an artist, I can be a cake artist, I can be a musician, and I can do cake, and I can bring it into all of these environments. So and especially being Black as well, I really want to inspire like my young Black ladies, females, men, whoever, non-binary, binary, all of those people to kind of know that, you know what, this is a space that we can take up, and you can be as loud and as bold as you are.
Yeah.
Wow. Perfect. Oh, gosh. Thank you so, so much for joining us today. That's just been amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mind blown.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me. Like, I've really enjoyed speaking to both of you. Even though I did most of the talking, but I really enjoyed it.
But that's really why we have guests. We don't have to talk when we have guests.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
Natasha, this is your publicity opportunity. Would you like to say where we can find you, what website, social links, etc.?
Sure. So if you'd like to find me or make an order, you can go straight to my website, which is www.theindulgentsugarplum.com. And you can also find me on Instagram, on IG. It's more visually appealing. That's Ms, which is MS_sugar_plum. And Facebook, it's the Indulgent Sugar Plum Limited. And I am on Twitter. I honestly don't know what my Twitter handle is, but if you type in Indulgent Sugar Plum, you'll find me. Honestly, I think it's Indulgent_S Plum. I think that's it. Like, I barely use Twitter. That's how much a lot of reposting quotes. Well, you know, just type in the Indulgent Sugar Plum and you should find me on Twitter.
Okie dokie, brilliant.
I think the only person that uses Twitter now is Donald Trump, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so, and he has a great time using it as well.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Natasha, for being a guest on The Business of Cake Making. Please see below for all links for The Indulgent Sugar Plum, The Business of Cake Making, and of course, check out The Daisy Cake Company, because we are amazing, of course. Thank you. Goodbye.